The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Let me ask you a question. If you knew that you were about to die, what would your last words be? That's an interesting question to think about, maybe a hard question to think about. Here are some last words of some famous people. Elvis Presley's last words were, "I hope I haven't bored you." Spike Milligan's last words, "I told you I was ill." Salvador Dali, "I do not believe in my own death." Kurt Cobain, "It's better to burn out than to fade away." And George Best said, "Don't die like I did." What would your last words be? Today, we are diving into a new sermon series as we focus on the last words of Christ while he was on the cross. While he was on the cross, he said seven statements. Today, we're going to focus on the first statement that he said. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 32. Jesus is already on the cross, and this is what it says. "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus then said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" There's a famous book titled The Scarlet Letter. This book is about a young woman named Hester who was found guilty of adultery. And so what they did was they put a scarlet A on her dress as a sign of shame. So wherever she walked, wherever she went, people knew what she did. People knew the sin that she committed. She lived a life of people ridiculing her. That was back in the day when adultery seemed like such an unforgivable sin. How things have changed a little bit. But in our world today, we have so many sins that are hidden. We don't go around and we don't carry our sins on the outside of our clothing so everyone can look at us and see what was going on or what we have done. Maybe in some way it might make people feel free to sin as much as they want because they know, well, they won't ever know. But I want you to know as I'm sure you do, that your sin isn't hidden from God. That every sin that you commit, you do it right in front of Him. But I wonder, how different would this world be if truly we lived our life real and open, even to a point where everything that we do is out in front so everyone else could see it? Yeah, it could be alarming, but I wonder how different it would make things. I bet you it would make you think twice before you sin the next time. But it also would allow us to look at everybody else and to see and to know, oh, guess what? We are all alike. Maybe in different ways, maybe different sins that we have in our life, but the truth is, each and every one of us have our own list. Each and every one of us struggle with our own sin. And if we can just bring it out on the table and be real and open about it, maybe we would actually do something about it. When I was a youth pastor, I had a small group that met every week, and I took them through kind of this this visualization illustration, if you will. I had them all close their eyes, and I told them to visualize with their eyes closed, to visualize them writing on a piece of paper, and to visualize them writing all of their sins that they know of, that they can think of, on this piece of paper. And I had them visualize this. And then I had them visualize Jesus. And for them coming to the feet of Jesus. And I had them visualize Jesus' arms reached out and bringing them up on his lap and holding them and embracing them and forgiving them. After this exercise, I was interested of what they visualized. And so we started talking about it. There was one of the youth, I found it interesting, where he said, when I asked them, how did it feel when you went on Jesus' lap? One of the youth said, I couldn't visualize that. There was always a distance between me and Jesus, and I never could get up there. So then I started to ask a few more questions. And in asking a few more questions, I quickly understood that this young man had his own sins in his life, where he truly, and he said, in my own life, I feel like I have done some things that God can never forgive. And so he never could visualize himself coming on the laps of lap of Jesus, because he felt like there's nothing that he could do, not for me. There are many people who feel that way. Yeah, they believe in forgiveness, but yet Jesus doesn't forgive my sins. Jesus wouldn't forgive the thing that I did. In our scripture reading today, we heard these first words of Jesus. Now we have to go back a little bit to help us to realize how powerful and unexpected these words were from Jesus' mouth. Remember, Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends for a few coins. there he was falsely accused and went through an unjust trial. He was judged to be put to death by people who a few days before were yelling, "Hosanna!" And now they're yelling, "Crucify him." He was spit upon, beaten, and publicly humiliated by a crown of thorns. He was led up to a hill called Golgotha, which meant a place of skulls. This is a place where every Friday morning the Roman soldiers would crucify the worst prisoners to death. And on this day, to the Roman soldiers, Jesus was just another body to be crucified. They were just doing their job. Can you imagine all of the words that they heard from these people that they have crucified on the cross? If it was you in Jesus' shoes, what would you be saying? I'm pretty sure, by all the words that they heard, I'm pretty sure they've never heard these words come out of someone's mouth from the cross. Jesus looked over them and said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Forgive them. Interesting that the first words revealed on the cross is why Jesus was dying on the first place. "Father, forgive them," as he shed his blood to forgive us. Hebrews 9:22 said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Father, forgive them. So let me ask you this question. Who is them? Who is them? Is them the Roman soldiers? Yeah. Is them Pontius Pilate? Yeah. Who is them? Is them the high priest that actually started this whole thing to begin with? Yeah. It was. Was them the people spitting and yelling at Jesus, the ones beating him? Was that them? Yes. But them is also you and me. Why? Because it is our sins that held him there. That he died for us all. And when he says, "Father, forgive them," he is saying, "Father, forgive Paul." He's saying, "Father, forgive Chuck. Father, forgive Sam. Father, forgive Linda. Father, forgive Kathy." We are them. It was our sins that held them there. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, so often when we sin, we really don't know what we are doing, do we? When we sin, we don't know that every time we are doing it, we are denying Christ. We are choosing sin and denying him, just like Peter. in our Bible study on Wednesday night. We just went through that this last week as we looked into Peter denying Christ, but also flipped it around. And how often do we deny Christ as well? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Back then, Fridays were also known for slaughtering lambs. They did that, the Jews did, to forgive their sins. But on this Friday, the Lamb of God was slaughtered to forgive us of all of our sins. Father, forgive them. In his last words, Jesus practiced what he preached. Oh, you remember the words that Jesus said? Luke 6:27 through 28. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus' last words were a prayer to forgive your enemies. Jesus practiced what he preached on the cross. Father, forgive them. We even see these same words in Acts while Stephen was being stoned to death for believing in Jesus. And moments before he died, it says, then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. What would your last words be? Back here, we have three jars. On these three jars, we have sin, and we have us. And so often, when sin kind of enters our life, it just kind of changes us. Dirties us a little bit. When sin enters our life, it just keeps on getting thicker and thicker, where it seems like maybe we have even changed. But then Jesus was on the cross, and he was on the cross for us. And when he saw our sin, he said, I will forgive that sin, and I will make it white as snow. But not only that, Jesus was on the cross for all sin. So when all sin was laid upon his shoulders, he forgave it all. He forgave you. When you look at this glass, I want you to realize that you are forgiven. Why? Because of his blood that was shed for you. Because of the cross that he died for you. I want you to know that when God looks at you, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. You are forgiven. When Jesus died, we became white as snow. So as we close and prepare ourselves for communion, I want to ask each and every one of you to close your eyes. Promise me that you won't fall asleep. Close your eyes. And I want you to take a few minutes as your eyes are closed to visualize this. Visualize you holding a white piece of paper and a red marker. And now visualize you putting the sins in your life. Think about the sins that are in your life. And now visualize you writing on that sheet of paper this list of sins on the sheet of paper. Do you see them? Now I want you to visualize Jesus sitting right there in front of you. He's looking at you with his eyes of love, and he's reaching out his arms to you. Do you see that? And now I want you to visualize Jesus picking you up and holding you in his arms like a father would hold their own child. Do you see that? How does that feel when Jesus embraces you? Now I want you to visualize Jesus taking the sheet of paper from your hands that are marked up with all of these sins. And I want you to visualize him taking the sheet of paper and he's making it white as snow again, that it's all gone. Do you see that? And now I want you to hear the words of Jesus while he's holding you. Hear him say, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This morning, I want you to know that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Your slate is wiped clean. I want you to know that you are loved by him. You can all look at me. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much that he died for you. He loves you so much that he gave his life. His blood was shed for you. Father, forgive them. You are forgiven. But it doesn't just stop there. Hear the words that Jesus also said to another woman where he said, "Now go and sin no more." doesn't give us free rein to do whatever we want, knowing that every time we come into the lap of Jesus, that we are forgiven. No, Jesus is calling us. He is calling you to repentance. He is calling you to look at that list that you have on that sheet and to say, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to turn my back from that, and I want to be a new creation. I want to be a different person because Jesus loves me that much that he died on the cross for you. You are forgiven. You are loved. It's that simple message. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever take that for granted. And now, as what we learned last week, guess what? We forgive because Jesus forgave us. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And these words are going to lead us into communion, which this is what communion is all about. Communion is all about us looking at our own sins and coming before the sinless one, coming before the one who died for us.